You are listening to show number 40 of the Dirt. Of the Dirt.
The Dirt. Yeah, there you go.
You might be right.
That goes in the outtakes.
That's right.
The deep radio voice that introduces each episode of the Burnham and Dodge Art Hour belongs to John Steiney, who happened to be our first guest on our fourth show way back in the fall of 2009.
That's right. It fell hard, too.
What you just heard was a flubbed introduction by John, and you also heard me say, that goes in the outtakes. And that's what tonight's program is all about.
Yes.
Outtakes.
Outtakes, folks. Again, I want to say welcome to the Burnham and Dodge Art Hour.
Right, and we're not really show number 40, we're show number 44.
That's correct, show number 44, our special outtake show.
Outtake show.
Yeah, we don't mean taking food out or, you know, taking the garbage out. Well, me in this case might be taking the garbage out. But we're definitely talking about stuff that's being taken out that was not used on the show that now you have the opportunity to hear.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
That's exactly what it's all about. So we want you to enjoy this. And thanks to our intrepid engineer, Richard Wicker, helped put this together and keep this place running.
You know that this is the fourth anniversary show? We have been on the air since March of 2009.
What?
That's March 2013.
What? Since March? And here we are again in another March?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. What was the weather was back that last March compared to this March? This March is rather snowy and cold.
Snowy and cold.
You know?
You know, along the way, we've had something like 38, 39 guests.
Wow, that...
Well, actually, more than
that.
Man,
that's not bad.
We had a couple shows, remember, where we had two guests.
That's right. Yeah. If we count them all one at a time, we might have almost... Well, that many.
Yeah, right. Got to take my shoes off to count that high.
I know I do. It'll take both of us to do it, folks. His four hands and my two hands and his four. Yeah, right.
Well, so Ken, have you ever had that moment when you wish you could take back something you just said? You know, a verbal faux pas, a blooper, a boner, slip of the tongue?
Yeah. I've
foot and mouth disease.
Yes, foot and mouth disease. I can certainly say I've had that happen a few times in my life.
In the course of recording each episode, episode of the Burnham and Dodge Art Hour, we're not perfect, and we sometimes make mistakes.
We're not perfect?
We're not perfect.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. I thought we were perfect.
No, I thought
we were the perfect host with the perfect show. Well, they will happen. Mistakes do happen. They will happen.
And these slips are likely to come out. You can never tell. Mm-hmm. So every now and then...
So I always tell my car to keep the slip tucked in. So it won't come out under any circumstances.
What I love is that thing where you see these women wearing skirts and army boots.
Oh, yeah. What's that all about?
I don't know what it's
about.
I don't
get that. You know what? What's the point? What are you trying to impress here? You know? What are you trying to tell me?
I gotta admit, though, they still look sexy.
Yeah.
In a kind of olive oil.
Yeah, there it is. That olive oil thing, going, roll that sock down a little more.
Well, every now and then we're having such a good time, we happen to run over our allotted 60 minutes.
Yes,
which means that some of the show never makes it onto the finished program.
Exactly.
So these unused snippets are known as outtakes.
Outtakes, folks.
So for this show, we decided to do something a little different.
Yes, we did.
We're not going to stick with the standard format.
That's right.
What we're going to do is play some of those outtakes.
Mm. But we're still drinking the usual stuff.
That's it. Where's mine?
Oh, I'm working on that now, sir.
Right. You know, we didn't start saving outtakes until 2011. And
so we're a little behind schedule, aren't we?
We produced them, but I just threw them out.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know. Here's our first outtake from August of that year.
Oh.
And it features actor, director, playwright Matt Lecusa.
Those actoirs.
Managing director of the American Repertory Theater of Western New York.
Ah, I love it.
We talk about hair oil and acne and the United Nations.
That's a good combination there.
Here we go.
When you were a kid, did you ever put oil on your hair? Did you ever do any of that bro cream stuff?
I'm Italian.
You know, Dad, but do you,
I have natural oil.
But watch out. The girls always put it. Oh,
that's genetic, man.
I forgot.
I remember the theme song.
I don't have blood. I have wine.
That's why you guys don't have pimples. Just slide right on.
Just don't form. For your American Italians out there, I love culture. I love my heritage.
Well, he's the Italian. I'm the black guy. You know, what do you want? This is a perfect combination.
And I'm a Nazi over here.
Oh, that's right. We got the perfect combination here. This is it. You will not find a better group.
We're a regular UN nation, aren't
we?
Right now.
All we need is a Polish person here, and we'll have the city of Buffalo.
That's my left foot.
Yeah, ideal.
There you go. Your left foot.
I wouldn't have it no other way myself. I mean, good food on all sides here. Of course, the Nazi guys could never really cook that good. Well, we do the Wiener Schnitzel. Yeah, that's not too bad. I could go with some Wiener Schnitzel.
Now, you have...
They're good on beer. I like that part. More Germans made... That's how this Mexican beer came about, because the Germans went down to Mexico after the war.
I remember when I was growing up, the best German restaurants were in your section of town.
That's right.
How the hell did that happen?
Because there were Germans.
You moved in.
And then they said, "Und wie got to go now."
And then they went to the suburbs.
That's right. Fast, let's go. Go.
Schaffs and Troitel.
Raus.
They were all on the east side.
They sure were.
Wonderful.
Every one of them.
Places.
The only one had the corner store down there. I'll never forget the corner store.
Well, see, you can see sometimes we don't understand why these got thrown out, but
we don't. We sure don't.
Just ran out of room.
That's right. I guess that's what it was. Not enough room somewhere.
Do you remember?
How big is that room?
Back around 2011 or so, or 2010? No, 2011. In fact, when we were making the promos for each episode.
Oh yeah.
We would do the interview with the guest.
Yep.
And then Richard would have us do a 1 or 2 minute promo for each show.
He would.
Well, we stopped doing the promos apparently because there's something to do with the website that Think Twice Radio is part of.
Yep.
And they said you can't do the promos. It'd take up too much space or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have one promo that we saved because we never used it. We made it and it never got up on the air.
We need to play this.
It's also a promo, for the same person we just had, Matt Lacusa.
Oh, perfect.
This is the promo for the Matt Lacusa
trailer,
episode in August of 2011.
It's a trailer?
Yep. It's a trailer. Here we go.
Hi, this is Carl William Thiel.
And Ken Morgan.
And on the next episode of Burnham and Dodge Art Hour, we're featuring local playwright, actor, and director.
Yes, we are.
Matt Lacusa.
And there he is, right there.
That's right. He's the, what are you exactly? The something executive director, head guy?
The executive artistic janitor of American Repertory Theater,
Western New York.
Yes.
Do it all.
An actor and a director.
We're going to talk about being a thespian.
Right.
Being a playwright.
Yes.
And all kinds of neat stuff like that.
There
Plus,
you
we'll
go.
Be featuring questions from our listeners.
You got to have that.
And the amazing return of Mr. Answer Man. So please, join us again for the next episode.
That's right.
Burnham and Dodge Art
Hour. That's correct. Brought to you by our sponsor every week. Who's our sponsor every week?
Think Twice Radio.
Think Twice Radio.
Somewhere near Buffalo.
That's right. With our marvelous engineer, none other than who?
Richard Wicker.
Absolutely. Bring it on and be back here to listen to it.
Now, that is amazing, isn't it?
It is.
The fact that we didn't write that. I mean, it was just off the tops of our head. Yeah. See how badly I can speak when that's not written
out
for me?
Now you see why our tops of our heads are so flat.
Yeah.
Aren't them guys from the Flathead Tribe out there in Montana?
Oomba Goomba, Oomba Goomba. Oh, man, I'll tell you. No, we have a lot of fun on this show.
We try.
We have to admit.
And we want you folks out there listening to have as much fun as we do.
Well, Ken, it's been a wonderful 4 years.
If you don't, we're going to talk about it.
It really has.
I like to think so.
I mean, look at all the people. As we said, we've had more than 40 different guests on our show.
Right.
They still talk to us?
Yeah. In public, anyway.
Yeah, we run into them at art opening.
Not in public.
They're still willing to talk to us. I mean, that's the amazing.
Give a slight cover of the eye every now and then. You guys again. I guess I got to go there and talk to them.
I tell you. Well, there are various reasons.
Lovely bunch of people.
Discard these moments. It's like every now and then we run out of time and something has to go. And sometimes there are mistakes.
Yep. Sometimes there's a flat out mistake once in a while, so you got to get rid of it.
Listening to these programs more than once, we can hear that we tend to repeat ourselves.
Oh, I hate doing that. I don't like to repeat myself.
Oh, me too.
Unless it comes down to eating or sleeping or going to the bathroom.
Or
things
sex.
Like that.
Yeah.
Things like that part I like. I would definitely like to repeat myself on some sex.
On one.
not for myself or by myself, with myself.
And you don't mean any religious sex.
No, religion has nothing to do with the way I want to do it. Man, but we'll start our own religion to get it done right. That's right. You better believe it, man.
Yeah, okay.
There's a new religion called a sex, you know, something like that. A sect called a sex.
On one show in January of 2012, I realized one of my verbal shortcomings.
Oh.
Here's what it is. You know, it's so... I'm doing it again.
You're doing it again?
I'm saying you know a lot.
Yeah, you're doing it again.
I'm doing it again.
You haven't had enough gin. I'll take care of it.
I used to know this girl in college who would say, do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah?
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm... She'd say that... She'd punctuate nearly every paragraph out of her mouth. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. I had a buddy. He used to say, always say, you understand. You understand. Everything was, you understand. I said, no, John. I looked at one and said, John, I don't understand. Explain it a little more to me, please. I don't understand. What do you mean you don't understand? I don't. He was great about it. You understand.
Now, Ken, of course, you're capable of a tremendous line of non sequiturs.
Oh, what's that word again? What's that word again? I never heard that word.
It basically means you're not making sense.
That government word.
You're not making sense when you're talking.
Here's a government word.
Here's an example of Ken.
And usually, the show is known for knowledge and trivia. Okay, now, trivia.
Ladies and gentlemen, you want to hear Ken do one more?
Yeah, let's hear one more. I can hear that myself. I'm Ken.
Okay.
E-T-T-A-E-T.
They're full of them. I must get at least 3 minutes out of every episode of you going,
Is
that the monkey to the
zoo? Dab a dab a dab a dab a dab a dab a dab means monk I love but you.
But every now and then you come up with something really profound, and it's definitely worth putting in here. Here's something you said that I thought that was really profound. Yeah.
Not profane, but profound.
Yep.
There's a difference.
Well, we'll see.
Wow,
we'll
right.
see.
I think this
is also profane.
Give it a listen to, right?
Yeah, Tyrannosaurus Rex get an erection.
Now, we don't know where this comes from. I don't think you know where this stuff comes from.
No, that's usually before I have the gin, too.
Okay, then.
Will he buy an erector set to help himself in that situation?
Oh, man. Of course, sometimes I'm amazed that you are still a married man.
Oh.
Because during the question from our listener segment, we sometimes go astray. Longtime listener Sophie Gluck submitted a question about what photographers do with the excess silver used in film processing, and you mentioned coal tar, and I asked if that was bitumen, which led to this exchange about my non-existent wife and her bitching at men. Take a listen.
But bitumen, that's what my wife does.
Yeah.
She bitches at men.
And furthermore, don't come home and... No,
that's a dumb joke. I'm not even married. People know that. I'm not married.
I am, but...
we won't go there.
Let me tell you what happened last night.
Oh, no.
So here I am.
This is what happens when we answer questions from our listeners. They just go off on tangents for about 10 minutes.
It's like about, 6:30 this morning, 4:45.
Not even daybreak yet.
Not even daybreak. There's a song in there I know. And I'm getting ready to roll over it one more time to get that second gear and the shift down to third, you know. And all of a sudden, I hear the cover slide a little bit. And I feel this little jerk on the cover. And I'm going, any second now, she's going to fall out of the bed. And I just hear this, crash! That's like an avalanche on the side of the bed over there. Things are collapsing and falling into it, probably with a chasm or something going on over there. My wife fell out of the bed. Needless to say, she could not get up off the floor. And I didn't want to turn the light on because that would only wake me up even further. Nope, I did not go back to sleep.
I could understand the nocturnal frustration you were suffering.
Oh, boy, it was brutal. This is like the third time this year. I said, look, we're going to have to extend the side of the bed up against the wall or something. Because I'm, you know, maybe you fall into the wall and not hit the floor so I can sleep. You know what I'm talking about?
That's a classic.
It is.
That's a classic, I got to say. Now
that was definitely a classic, no doubt about that.
Well, our listeners may find this hard to believe.
It was a classic.
But we sometimes get ourselves in trouble with our female guests.
Oh, now that can't be true. Well, we're gentlemen all the way through and through.
You know, I'm really sorry we didn't keep the outtakes from the show we did with Candace Keegan. Candace loves us, and I appreciate it. She could take it, and she took it admirably. She was wonderful. Speaking of admirable,
yes,
actor Josie DiVincenzo
admirably
put up with our nonsense, proving she's a professional in every sense
every
of the word.
Every sense of the word.
Every
sense. I saw her last week, you know, at an art show.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, she was over at the Art Sphere.
Oh, I'm so sorry I didn't see her.
Yeah, she was there.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Well, now you'll hear my introduction cut off in mid-sentence. What I said was, let's bring in our guest, and then we can introduce her. And you said...
Sir, you know, I'm not bringing that guest.
What is
she weighs too much?
Well, what is
she may not be that tall.
Is there anything that can't be considered an art? I suppose.
You're asking me directly?
Yes, yes.
No,
we'll introduce
ask
you after.
Over on the side here. That way she won't be directly when you ask her. Ask her right about right here. She's right on the
fact
side.
That what? I'm 5'1 and 300 pounds. Is that what you were saying?
Oh, my God.
He said I was short, but...
Well, short, but you got it's a matter of well, you know what? I'm going to say this, folks.
You're going to get yourself in trouble, aren't you?
Yeah, I got to do
okay.
that.
Okay, all right.
It's part of my job.
Okay,
you know that.
Go ahead.
It's well proportioned.
It's a dirty job, but somebody has
somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to make the mess, so somebody else have a job cleaning it all up.
No, I think Josie is actually a compact package.
I think say that.
That's what you'd say.
I would definitely say that she's the compact package.
Well, before we go any further,
see,
I suppose
is I'm old now. I'm not as strong as I used to be. So if I got to pick her up and carry her around, it's going to be a job.
My God.
Well, of course, if she has any.
So you don't press any higher than 98 pounds, 100 pounds, too much? All right.
In your case, that would make an exception.
She has any say in the matter. I don't know about that.
I would definitely make an exception.
Now, where did you get the impression that she was big? She weighs like 98 pounds, like she said. I don't understand that, Ken.
I was sitting down when she walked into the room. That's probably what it was. As photographers will say, it was a perspective thing from the angle where you had the camera, you know? It does stuff like that.
Well, she was good.
You used the wrong lens and you got the angles wrong here. It will give you that kind of perspective.
Right after that, we went to the song. So we're talking over the song, the midpoint song. Mm-hmm. You know,
and midpoint.
And here's Josie's reaction.
This is very
strong, or something.
I love all the Shirley Temple.
Because it breaks it up, and he picks all the middle songs.
So we're not on right now, or you're gonna edit this out.
Yeah. Yeah.
How the hell are you calling me big? I gotta slap you upside the head.
Hit that head. Go ahead.
Size 4.
Really? Yeah.
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 Well, you're size 4?
Yes.
What's the best looking size 4 I've ever seen in years?
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
I think he's trying to excite you.
I'm happy to see this.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That was really funny.
It's amazing she didn't slap you right in this, you know.
That's right.
Right that in there.
Took that guy and slapped him apart, you know. He would throw his head with a spin around.
right. We could have seen that.
Show that one again. Show that clip again. Smack.
Well, it shows how professional she is, you know.
Quite so.
So other times, a piece is removed because it might be, suggestive or not politically correct.
Well, you know, we know we don't do politics on this show.
Well, we don't do politics. But I was talking about the differences between urban musicians and suburban musicians.
Oh, I think
and
I remember
you,
Ken,
that one. Just took the topic into a whole nother direction. There's a whole difference between being an urban musician and a suburban musician.
I agree.
Now, I don't know.
There's no culture in the suburbs.
I don't know about the black community, how that works, because you guys are mostly urban. So I don't know that. But
well, it's true.
Really?
If you put a black person out in the suburbs, he ain't going to last long in the culture.
And where was I going? I was heading somewhere with this.
He was headed back to the city and not the suburbs.
But we never run out of things for you to talk about, Kenmore. You know?
Kenmore is an enigma with me.
I think a great deal of the attraction our show may have on our listeners is the dynamic between you and me. Definitely. I mean, the show would not be what it is.
I believe you're right.
With the way you and I interact with each other.
I mean, agree.
I can
that.
Say something and you start playing off that, or you say something and I play off that.
All right.
And I don't know whether it's luck or what, you know, but it sure works for us. It
does. Yes.
It definitely works for us.
I agree. I agree with.
So what happens is the two of us will grab hold of a subject and toss it back and forth until we come to a terrific conclusion, or it rolls under a car. We can't reach it.
Right. Hey, Whit, can you give us a hand? Your arms are longer than ours. I can't get it. In fact, my back's killing me here.
Sometimes Ken and I will begin talking about something while our guest is neglected, while we bounce from topic to topic.
Yes.
The unfortunate guest in the next few selections is our friend Allison.
Oh.
We talk about sniffing photography chemicals, curare poisoning, mind-altering substances, extraterrestrials, the speed of light, and spatulate hands all come into play in these next 4.5 minutes. One thing I often wonder on this show is where stuff comes
Sometimes
from in our heads.
Sometimes I make myself laugh, don't I?
Where does this stuff come from?
Well, if
what is in our background that brings up this deep, vegetated, morass, miasmic splurge of sickness and grotesquery?
I think I have an answer for that.
I think Deanne Arbus is hanging out in my other life.
Well, when I was a kid, I used to eat Pace.
Oh, that tasted good, though, I think.
It sure did.
That white stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then
we used to eat lead paint, too, when I was a kid.
Well, weren't you talking about sniffing photography chemicals before? Right before the show started?
Right. The fix. Now, you want to get a good, you want to really get knocked out. They'll find you the next morning on your back with your fingers curled like this, about like that. See, like that. Your head, your eyes be crossed.
They say that happens with curare poisoning, too. It gives you a rictus in the mouth.
I read enough mystery novels. Well, you be like this.
Yeah. You're laying back with your hands akimbo.
You're still alive, but you're like this, goodness. You know.
Is there brain damage in
just a little bit. It fixes it so it won't move no more. It'll be that spot, that whatever. When that second gets hit by that fix, it's going to stay like that forever. The rest of your brain will keep moving, but that part is going to be fixed in that spot.
I like it. So you'll always think of that.
Yeah, you will.
So just be careful you're not thinking of, like, depressing things.
That's right.
You know what they say about drugs? I remember hearing about this. They say if you smoke marijuana, it exacerbates. It brings out, I can't think of a small word for that.
It masturbates.
It masturbates.
Which one was it here now?
No, it exaggerates whatever mood you're in.
You pipe up on this now.
It exaggerates whatever mood. If you're smoking pot and you're in a bad mood, then, of course, your feeling while you're high is going to be kind of negative and depressed.
Oh.
If you're in a good mood, then your feeling will be exhilaratory.
I like that.
I like that word.
I like that. Spell that to me.
And you'll be feeling very happy.
I think that
it's also true with LSD.
Uh-huh.
And that's true about probably many things, psilocybin and other things, mushrooms.
So what we should do in that case is we should get these aliens, see, and have them bombard the whole Earth with that. Every one of those movies, you always see the aliens come to destroy stuff. They always do it the wrong way.
Well, they always get beat.
Here they can traverse
you know, hundreds of light years.
I never did.
The closest star system is 4.3 light years away, which would take at least 4.3 years to travel if you're speeding.
Exactly.
If you're at the speed of light.
Right.
And that's, like, not possible.
Yeah.
It's just not possible.
Yeah.
Because the closer you get to the speed of light, the more your mass increases.
There you go.
Which means you'd, like,
go
weigh 1,000 pounds. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And that translates to, I want some dinner now. I'm hungry, but I don't think I can reach the table.
Well, you caught right onto that, yeah. And so you have these people, these beings, these intelligent life from another world, another solar system, able to traverse this immense distance in space.
Exactly.
And we can just wipe them out just like this, you know, within 90 minutes.
Always 90 minutes. Yeah, that's the one that always killed me was when the original War of the World movie back in the 1950s, I saw it when I was a kid, scared the daylights out of me. Then when they showed the hand of that alien, and it had the flat fingers on the end, or the Martians.
Yeah.
I said to myself, well, wait a minute here now. How can they make these sophisticated ships with flat fingers like that? I couldn't have figured that out.
You're
they
right.
Got flat fingers. Who?
Well, they had.
How could they do all this fine work with flat fingers?
They had a race of beings that were subject to them who did not have spatulate hands.
That must be the answer, right?
You're
there,
talking spatulate hand. That's what that means.
That must be the answer.
Did you ever notice people with spatulate hands with really flat fingers are great piano players?
Uh-huh. I think Oscar Levette was one.
And Paderewski, back in the 30s. Uh-huh. He had spatulate hands.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard that term before, spatula hands.
Well, let's see your hands.
My hands are not spatula hands.
Spatulate.
That right there, though.
Uh-huh. I love bringing up words that nobody else has ever heard. I used the word peccadillo the other day, and I stumped
not pachyderm,
the audience.
But peccadillo.
Peccadillo. One fact, I think we should call the Republican Party the Pachyderm Party.
There you go.
It's alliterative. It's P and P, you know. That was such a wonderful exchange between you and me, but I had to take it out of the episode because
I love it.
Our guest was nowhere to be heard.
Yeah, what did happen to our guest?
For like 4.5 minutes, you and I are going back, and she's not jumping in.
What did happen to that guest?
Oh, poor Allison.
I saw her last Saturday, was it? Friday at Art Sphere.
Oh, she was there. I saw her, too. I did see her, too. Yeah. Well, unfortunately for Allison, we continued. We just kept going. This next one demonstrates how we jump from topic to topic, as if the one before didn't demonstrate. We started talking about Hot Dog Day, which you have at Locust Street.
That is correct.
Every September.
Yes, we love it.
We went to marriages, then licenses, and then to fishing. Well, you're the photographer.
Why, yeah, that's my job.
And you photographed this woman anyway.
I got to photograph her again.
When I first approached Allison to be on the program, I didn't know you guys went back so long.
And so far, so long.
Well, we met. It's got to be at least 15 years. Easy, and this is the very first year that I ever made it to Hot Dog Day, which is
pathetic. I appreciate that. I really do.
Maybe I did a number of years ago. Second.
Yeah, I think it was a stretch back.
Second.
Yeah. Yeah, like number two.
Well, it used to be on Monday.
Yeah, it was on Mondays back at my house at that time.
That's right. Yeah. I was at your last one you had at your house.
Mm-hmm. It got so big we had to go to this Locust Street.
But you notice Norman stopped showing up.
Yeah.
Norman stopped showing up when you moved it to Locust
Street. Yeah.
That's too bad. I like Norman.
I know. We got to give him back.
Is he still happily married? Norman, this goes to you, Norman.
Yeah.
Is he going to hear this?
And no, his wife won't let him listen to it. She don't look. If I knock on his door and she looks out the window, she just looked at it. I'm standing out there. Uh-oh. This is no good. Ken is out there. This is no good. Norman don't need to be associated with this guy. He's no good.
Now, this is his second wife, right?
Yeah, no, it's third.
Oh, his third wife. Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Norman.
He's one of those guys who never learned a second time.
I tell you.
Poor guy.
I would like to be married once.
You know,
just so I can like get divorced.
You know, everybody should be married one time so they'll learn a lesson.
Have you been married before? Else?
Don't do it.
I have not. No. I mean, we could just get married for a day and get divorced so we could just say, "Hey."
Yeah.
It's my ex.
Well, I tell you what. I don't like politics and all that kind of nonsense, but I'll run for president just for that reason. So everybody can get married for 1 year and 1 year only, and then when the contract comes up for that license renewal, you have a chance to say, "Well, we can renew it for another year or just get out of this thing right now."
I like that very much. It's like having a license to have children, too.
Yeah, we should.
You need a license to drive.
Yeah.
Well, we could talk about that when the mic goes off.
Yeah.
About getting married.
Oh, I thought you meant about the license.
Well, both of them for that fact.
The married thing.
We'll piggyback to your driver's license or something. Your fishing license. It'd be perfect like a fishing license.
Yeah. It costs you, what, $35 a year? No, that's hunting.
Right, hunting.
Fishing's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Do you fish anymore?
I found my tackle box, believe it or not, 2 days ago in
now,
the basement.
Why do they call it tackle?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna
because you tackle someone in football, you don't tackle a fish. Can you imagine you got this, you have this line here, and you're bringing in this, you're rolling in this line, and you're tackling the fish? I don't know. Yeah. I don't think so.
Right. Wait a minute here.
What is?
It slips out your hand, you're fighting. Get the hell, run for your life.
Have you ever gone fishing, Allison?
I have not. Oh. No, well,
you don't know
maybe
what you're
when
missing.
I was a very small child, and I could have blocked it out.
I dated a girl in 1984 whose father said, he's no good if he doesn't fish. So she tried to get me to go fishing with him, and I was already willing to because, you know, whatever she wanted.
Whatever she wanted.
You know, I was 29 at the time. And it's like, I'll do, you know, sure. Because I want, you wanted to please them.
That's right. She was a babe. You definitely wanted to please her.
Oh, God. So what did you do wrong when you went fishing?
Babe right there. You know?
It never happened. She broke up with me before we went fishing. I was all
did
set.
You buy the fish,
I was all set.
You know what? She might have thought, this guy's never going to go fishing. I'm going to tell him he has to go fishing with my father.
Man.
And you called her bluff?
I did.
You did?
Well, I liked her dad. His name was Stan.
I like that name already.
I won't give the last name because who knows. But, yeah, Stan was a nice guy. He was cool. And I remember
Stan
going
was
to
that man, huh?
He used to tackle a lot of fish.
Yeah. He was a fish tackler.
No. We had a guy, little club.
We had a. No, they do that with seals.
Oh, seals! Bad. That's bad.
No, you do it with fish. Trust me.
Well, you do.
You get a pike in your boat.
Well, don't you
shore.
Just like pick the thing up by the end? Well, you can't actually grab them because they're flopping around.
No, no, no. You don't want to grab a pike.
Don't they?
They don't want. They got teeth like razors in them. So you get a pike or in your boat, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to club that fish. I was in a boat once with some guys. We were out fishing, and it came to the point was we either got to kill this fish or we all got to get out of this boat. Now, what's going to be?
How big was that pike?
That pike was
about 2 feet?
Yeah, it was 2.5 feet. Teeth just chewed up everything.
Like a barracuda.
That's right.
Oh, my.
So we're like
suddenly there's a hole in the end of the boat, and they're bailing.
This pike is down on near the stern, and we're near the bow. This thing is flopping. I don't know who brought it in. That's why I can't figure to this day, because you had to have a steel leader to bring it in.
It's in its throes. That's
this the thing is bouncing, flat, snapping, and carrying on. I looked over at Lewis and said, "Now wait a minute, who caught this thing?" "I don't know." He said, "Well, either we got to throw it out of the boat, or we got to club it to death, or something." Because
you need a mallet.
That's what.
So now I know if I ever go.
You always carry a not just a mallet
fishing.
You
take
a mallet. You carry a studded mallet.
A studded mallet.
Yeah.
My very first character, my clay
we
character.
We would use a gun, but
fish.
The problem is we're using a pistol. If you miss, you put a hole in the boat. That's how dangerous those things
I
are.
I don't like the
I
idea
don't
of
want to know why you were taking a pistol fishing.
Anyway. Was this down in the south
because
tier,
if you
southern
catch
tier?
One, no, down
you,
south.
You go down in the southern tier quite a bit, or you used to.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the story you used to tell. He used to tell the story. They would grab a case of beer, drive down to Allegheny, finish the beer by the time they got there, then get another case of beer for the trip back.
Yeah, you had to do that. That's right.
Was there any fishing in between there?
It was probably of the two-legged female kind, I think. You know, yeah. I think.
Exactly. But we had tackle box. We're all ready to go for it now. We're ready. We're ready now. You boy, we're going fishing.
Do you fish anymore, Ken?
I haven't fished. Once again, I did find my tackle box, and it was rumored that last summer I was going to go fishing, and it didn't happen. Oh, so it was rumored again, maybe by the end of this year, I may go fishing. With South Buffalo, he keeps saying, come on, we got to go fishing. I got a good spot over in Walker Creek. We can deal with that.
What are the fish you can get around here?
Well, you got everything from steelhead around here. So we got those. We got browns. We got we got the bluegills. We got yellows. I love yellow perch. Those are good.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And you got the smallmouth bass that are good around here.
Oh, my.
Well. Matter of fact, there's a little book that I was given by one of my photo students about fish you can eat out of the Niagara River and Lake Erie that are safe.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of one?
Close to it. They got to be at least this large. Anything bigger than that, you don't want to eat that fish. Give it out that size there. Yeah. A little chart in there.
We're not always humorous, of course. Sometimes we actually do get serious. You got serious when you talked about Milton Rogovin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, after
yeah.
he passed away.
It had to, yeah.
So, and we can get serious with some of our guests. Here's one where we got kind of serious, mm-hmm. where you start talking about the quality of artists in Western New York.
Yes.
And Buffalo architecture.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, and you got to understand, because this is Buffalo and Western New York, we produce... Bar none, I've said this before, and I'll say it again on the show. Bar none, we produce some of the best, if not the best, in the top 10 artists in the United States that are coming out of this area.
And there's all kinds.
That's right.
There's absolutely all kinds of work here. I mean, there's serious, there's fun, there's playful, there's cogitative.
Yeah, cogitative and cogitative.
Cogitative.
And constipated is too. That the problem is around here, we got all these tightwads. Traditionally, yeah, we do. See, I gauge our area off of our architecture,
which is classic and famous.
Oh, well, to a point.
We have people from all over the world come to Buffalo and tell us how marvelous our it's so funny. They were just here a year ago.
Home,
remember back in like October, and they had the preservation people here, which but we also have a very good preservation group here.
We have
We're hoping to get a couple like Dana Saylor and other people. We're hoping to have people like that on.
But you know what happened to us though?
What happened to us?
We got stale. Now, if you know the average house they build in the Buffalo area, which when I say the Buffalo, I mean like in the city itself, they build the new houses. And also, when they build houses in the burbs, blah, 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 they all got that traditional look of shutters and gables.
I think what happened was they stopped.
In gables.
All right, remember the original artisans were a lot of Italian guys that came over. And I'm not being ethnic here, but remember.
That Godfather in the 19th
Yeah, right.
Okay. Was that what that was?
Yeah.
Right. He said Godfather.
We will. We'll put this in the background. I have that. But in the 19th century, many of your stonemasons were these Italian immigrants who would come over, and they knew how to work.
They were stonemasons.
Yeah, granite, right? But they would come over, and they knew how to build all this stuff. They were from generations of people who built cathedrals.
Sure, that's fine.
In Rome and places.
Well, leave it over there.
And they came over here, and they, after a generation, their kids said, oh, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
I don't want to work with my hands.
I don't blame them.
I want to become educated and do something and follow the American dream.
Yeah, let's do some
and not work 90 hours a week like my old man. You know what I mean?
And what happened was...
So they got very lazy in their architecture.
That laziness was good because it gave us mid-century architecture. That was some beautiful stuff. We got away from that. We're back to gables again and shutters on all our new houses. And these buildings, they're talking about putting up downtown that Webster
block. With the fake shutters. The fake shutters. You see them in the suburbs.
Oh, they're brutal.
They don't,
they don't. They get this big window with these little teeny shutters on either side. You know, that don't work.
They're not even going to, they don't even fit. You couldn't even close those things if they fit. They don't fit.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Ethel, we got to close the shutters tonight because it's going to be windy. You know?
Oh, God. And you wonder why those pieces got thrown out. Right?
I wonder that with the shutters as well, you know.
Well, the next thing that I'm going to play you or by you, Ken, is you actually.
Well, I'm selling things by you.
Yeah, that's right. You said a little bit about where to put art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to say that every now and then, where to put art.
We saw a panel discussion recently at the Echo Art Fair, you know, down at the Larkin Complex.
Oh, yeah, excellent.
Recently, Jerry Mead was in that and several other people.
Yeah, exactly.
And the consensus of the, I think, the five or the six people that made up the panel was that you do not buy a piece of work thinking, where is it going to go? You buy a piece of work because it moves you.
All right.
You worry about where it's going to go when you get it home.
Yep. Sofa-sized paintings. I love that line from Starving Artists. I love that.
This one is called Ken on Wall Space.
Oh, yes, on wall space.
So if you see a piece of work and it's affordable, you know, or you can, or say you have a income that's comfortable enough where you can actually buy a piece of work.
Right.
Does it ever strike you that, where am I going to put this?
Well, in my house, there's a few walls still available if I take something down. But my argument today is these people, I want you all to hear it on these TV shows who always buying and selling houses and looking for, you know, on HGTV, you know who you are. And this, that, and the other, we're beeping somewhere. And I want you to understand, you're not doing nothing good for the art world at all because you want this open concept design from one room to another. What you need to do is go back to rooms that were rooms that had walls so you could put artwork on the walls and you have a much better place to live. And none of this nonsense. Well, I want this flow for open space from my kitchen to my living room, my dining room, my family room. I don't even want stairs to my basement. I want my basement on the first floor with the rest of the house so there'll be an open flow design straight through to the garage where the car is. What? And now one wall to put a painting or a photograph or even a piece of sculpture on a pedestal anywhere. You morons haven't figured that out yet. You need to get your acts together and stop building housing. You architects need to stop designing houses that way. Go back to putting walls in houses so there'll be a place to put artwork.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum. Okay.
Oh, yes. Now, at this point, ladies and gentlemen, was our midpoint bump song.
That midpoint song.
And it's called Cocktails for Two by none other than Spike Jones and those City Slickers from 1944.
Oh, what delight to be given the right to be carefree and gay once again. No longer slinking, respectably drinking like civilized ladies and men. No longer need we miss a charming scene like this. In some secluded rendezvous that overlooks the avenue, with someone sharing a delightful chat of this and that and cocktails for two, as we enjoy a cigarette to some exquisite chansonnet. Two hands are sure to slyly meet beneath the serviette with cocktails for two. My head may go really, but my heart will be obedient with intoxicating kisses for the principal ingredient. First any afternoon at 5, we'll be so glad we're both alive. Then maybe fortune will complete her plan that all began with cocktails for two.
The next one, which is the English language.
Yes.
Talk about that.
The English language. Our buddy, once again, good old Alison Curry.
Oh, she was a trooper, wasn't she?
She was. You know, I wouldn't mind running away with her.
Well,
I don't know where we would go.
She said we could marry.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
I'm sure she would.
As long as you don't run too fast. I'm old now, so I can't run too quick and fast.
I'm sure she was in a divorcing
time.
Within a week.
You know,
but
I can see myself breathing. What was that movie I saw just this week? We had last Friday, down to school, Locust Street Neighborhood Art Classes, Inc., we have what mm-hmm. we call an animation night now. Once a month, we're doing an animation night. And we did a movie this past Friday called The Babes of Belleville.
Oh, yeah.
You ever see that?
Yeah.
I saw it for the first time last week.
No, it's The Triplets. The Triplets
of Belleville.
Yeah,
that's it. The Triplets of Belleville. Yeah. Folks, if you haven't seen that, I highly recommend it.
It's French, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a bizarre animated film.
Very bizarre animated film. No dialogue.
People are very ugly. They're
ugly
extremely ugly and grotesque.
Yes.
In that movie.
Well, they're making a statement in that movie.
They
I had to give them credit on that.
Using
there.
People, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got to give them 10 points. So if you haven't seen that movie, and once again, you're all invited for our animation nights at Locust Street, which right now we're trying to do on the third Friday of the month. But next month we're going to be doing what we call the Flim Flam Intellectual Movie Night. That'll be done on that night.
What night of the week?
That'll be a Friday, the third Friday of the month.
All right. Okay.
So come on board and
put it on your column.
Put it on your column.
Strain
right.
it. Strain it through that column.
That's right. Not too tight. Oh.
Every now and then we try to get a little bit of scholarly here. So our next one is where we talk about the English language.
I like the English language, but I think my co-host Carl Thiel likes it better than I do.
I play
Wait,
with
isn't
it.
Isn't he a German guy dealing with English stuff? How does that figure in?
I know three German words, and I'm not going to repeat them. Here we go.
They got me some beauties.
On the English language. I love this show because it gives us an opportunity to talk about the amazing variety of the English language. The English language
and
is just
Carl
so,
is a good master of the English language. Not too many people in my book who can master the English language. Well, I failed English
call
in
myself,
school.
I wouldn't call myself a master.
Well, you're better than
I am.
I'm
a fan.
I'm from the east side.
I'm a fan. I dally.
I want to insult the east side like I usually like to do. I'm from the east side, so we were never that good.
Here in Buffalo.
In Buffalo, that's right. Because there's the east side in Cleveland, too, believe it or not. And there's one also in the east side
where,
of Chicago.
Is that where the urban section is? The black section?
Yeah, pretty much so on the east side.
Because in Chicago, it's the south side.
That's right. Yeah. And in Detroit, it's also, they got an east side there, and Cleveland's a south side.
Now,
and east side of Cleveland.
You amaze me. You traveled quite a bit.
Oh, no, I wish I had.
No, but you've been to Indiana.
Indiana. I've been to Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, I've been all through Indiana.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Indiana.
What took you there?
A car. Oldsmobile 98.
Now,
to be
Allison,
exact.
Speaking of cars, what since a lot of artists I know have like big vehicles. Have you got a big vehicle?
Well, that's why I fit into Kenmore because I drive a pickup truck.
Oh,
I do.
Can I borrow
I drive
it?
A pickup truck.
Poor Allison. You know, I mean, right there is at least 20 minutes
man,
where we just ignored the poor girl.
She was sitting in that chair, just warming it up, and that was about the size of it.
You know. There, I did it again.
Yes.
I did it again. This one is called Zen, where we talk about Zen philosophy and dehumidifiers.
Well, how do we get to
I don't know how we get to these things.
Dehumidifier?
Yeah, well, here we go. Well, in Zen, doesn't the Zen master come up and smack the pupil in the back of the head?
I like to think
And then
so.
Not explain why he does it? He pops him like 20 times until the Zen student suddenly reaches, you know, that point in his path where he understands. He goes, oh, I'm enlightened now, Zen master.
You know,
he bows to him or something. I think these Zen masters just want to smack people.
I think you're right about that.
Did you ever see those movies? They're always smacking these poor kids.
I just got up. You hit me already. Yeah, you should have got faster. Like, get back in bed.
Calling them little nasty names like grasshopper and insect. And
always
stuff
an insect
like that.
Involved. You bug. Yeah, but wait, what kind? You're a grasshopper. Oh, that's not too
well,
bad.
Well, it's obviously you're eliminating the ego, which is the big thing when you're trying to mess with somebody's head.
That's
when you're brainwashing people, you have to eliminate their ego.
Got to do that.
Timothy Leary talked about that. You learned probably a little bit about that in school.
Yeah, dehumidifier. That's not the right word.
No, that's what you have on in your house in the summer.
No, in the wintertime. No,
in the summer.
No, humidify in the wintertime, right? And the
you humidify
in the winter.
In the,
after, otherwise, you hear your bones crack, like the furniture be cracking. When it gets dry, you don't have the wood furniture.
You know what my mother used as a humidifier when I was growing up?
Wet
laundry.
Man.
She would hang the wet laundry over the radiator.
Sure, why
and just,
not?
It would humidify the house that way.
I like that idea.
Because we didn't have anything to plug into. You know, we had like four plugs in our house when I was growing up.
You too?
One in the kitchen, one in the bathroom for Dad's electric razor,
right,
and I think each bedroom had one.
One.
You know? So five, you're talking.
It was always the one behind the bed where the plug was. It was down on the right side. Where you're like, we got to move the bed to plug
this
thing.
Yeah, you can't reach it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
You know, my cousin one day stuck a key in the darn thing. Oh, yeah, he did that. What's this?
And his hair straightened, right?
The black guy all of a sudden like, darn key.
That one featured Monica Farrar.
Yeah, you see, just remember Buckwheat, how that hair was straight out like that. You gotta remember that. Oh, hey, Buckwheat, you know.
Now,
Mr. Wheat.
Of course, we've had Mr. Answer Man on for the past 2 years. And every now and then, Mr. Answer Man will actually say something.
And give us an answer.
That we just can't use on a typical show.
No, can't do it.
But this show is not a typical show.
No, definitely not. We hope it's not. It better not be a typical show. But
the question that we had asked Mr. Answer Man was, how to negotiate one's way with a menage a trois.
Ooh, spell that.
Yeah. And our guest that same episode was Dave Lefkowitz,
yes,
the headhunter recruiter.
That, I like that guy.
Dave was wonderful.
I like that guy. You know, he was excellent.
Here's Mr. Answer Man and his Dave. Answer to the question, how does one negotiate a menage a trois?
Boom, 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 the Answer Man.
We're welcoming Mr. Answer Man once again back in the studio. He's back. Oh, you've been gone a long time.
It's been a while.
He's taking off. Keeps taking off.
He's back.
So, Mr. Answer Man, what question have you been cogitating lately?
Well, here we go. So, we all want to know how to do.
Yes. What is that? Does it involve a female or anything like that?
Huh?
Cogitated twice last night.
I think we've all had things. Yes.
Mr. Answer Man has brought a question that is upon every man's mind some point in his existence.
There's an art to it all, folks. Believe me.
Right. The question, Mr. Answer Man, for tonight is, how can the average man create a menage a trois experience?
It's a menage a trois.
Now you have my interest.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really quite simple. All you really have to do. Oh, Mr. Twinkles. Twinkles, there you go. Go, Twinkles. It's a Think Twice Radio cat.
There's a cat here.
Oh,
cat
boy.
Here, a cat
who let
here?
The cat in?
Oh, ooh, boy. Oh, gee, look at him.
Oh, that's a big cat.
Oh, he sure is a big cat. Whoa, boy.
Hey, get that cat
out. Wait. Whoa,
get away from my bag.
Wait a minute, fellas. This cat isn't fat. She's pregnant, and this pussy is ready to blow.
Oh no.
Whoa, Carl, give me a gin.
Okay,
gin.
All right, okay. What do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do?
Okay, Carl.
Am I holding?
Give me some, give me some gin. Kenny, okay. Boil some hot water. Get some hot water.
Here's the gin right here.
Get some scissors.
I am
newspaper.
In way over my head here.
A slice of pineapple.
Just keep going.
Some PVC pipe and a catcher's mitt, okay. Get her on her back. No, okay.
Oh, no.
Okay. Dab her forehead with some warm cloth. Try to say something soothing.
Nice kitty.
Hold her steady.
Nice. Hold that cat.
Carl, grab her legs.
Don't be swinging around back.
Really?
Grab her legs.
Okay, all right. Small.
Grab your leg.
Are we back to the menage a trois?
Breathe, kitty. I'll get to that.
Kitty. Oh, good kitty. Good kitty. Good
I can see the head.
Oh, she likes it. She likes it.
Oh, here comes
stop
one. Oh,
swinging
Jimmy.
That cat.
Scissors. Wait. I see another one.
Oh.
Oh, here it comes. Oh. It's a miracle. Miracle. Pineapple. Okay, another one.
Oh, God.
Sail dressing.
Cat stuff all
dressing.
Over the floor.
No diaper plates for sail dressing.
Get a vacuum cleaner, somebody.
Here comes another pussy.
Oh, my God.
Okay, now listen at home on overseas. I don't want.
I've never seen anything like this.
There are any double entendres. No double entendres, folks. Okay,
no,
this is about a cat.
I'm not making a joke at all.
We're giving birth over here.
This is an important thing we're doing here.
Richard, I hope you have some buckets back there, because pretty soon we're going to be swimming in pussy.
Oh, man.
Sorry about that. Oh, geez. Oh, Twinkles, hold on there. Hold on, Twinkles.
Twinkle, don't tinkle, whatever you do.
Here comes another one. Oh, this one looks like a little strange. Okay, let's call that one Greg. Okay. Jeez. Spatula. Oh, okay, folks. This is going to end one. Okay. Potato. That's it.
Where'd that one come from?
There's that's like it.
14 kitties here.
That's it. No more
and
pussies.
They're all hungry.
Oh. I'm not feeding them. I want nothing to do with that.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, the beautiful, it's a beautiful thing.
Send those letters in tonight, folks.
Think twice. Oh, it's a think twice miracle.
Oh, look at Twinkles. Oh, look at she's eating the small ones.
Right on time. Lick them cats, please.
Well, Mr. Answer Man, we'd love to finish that answer to that question, but we've run out of time.
Darn it. Next time. Yeah. Next time.
You'll be talking about menage a trois in the future.
Yeah.
The future. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
My goodness.
Oh, those cats. Hey, Niagara County, we're sending them your way. You can have all those puppies
thing.
And other ones. You can take care of these, too. We're sending them your way. First
and
thing
that
morning, the truck will pull up.
Was another unique experience with Mr. Answer Man.
Answer Man. See, I have many talents. I don't just answer questions. I can help midwife pets.
What's new, pussycat?
That's a good one, yeah.
What's new, pussycat?
Whoa. Oh, wow.
Okay. Of course, ladies and gentlemen.
Let me get myself off the floor here.
The gin from our sponsor definitely does help put us in this shape.
New Amsterdam gin. Low cost, high volume.
Of course, after the mics are off,
yep.
This is what sometimes occurs.
Listen now. Now turn the mics off.
Yep. This is what happens. I think this happened when we had El the Mime.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
great.
Beautiful.
Marvelous. 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 Oh.
Yeah.
You can't expect. You can't expect.
Now you can say you did it.
I'm glad.
You to Mime.
Yes, we hope we made history.
I'm glad I don't have
you
a professional
history.
Reputation.
Oh, my God.
Right. John, great. The Mr. Answer Man questions and answers were marvelous.
Yes, they were.
Thank you, Richard. We're already
We're the best yet.
Oh, man.
Richard, thank you so much for the photos.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
He was killing me tonight.
I like Stein's line. That was a good line.
That was John Steiny.
That was a good line.
The guy who does our introductions.
Yes, our numbered introductions.
Well, you know, we run out of time. Again, God damn it. We have run out of time yet again. And since we're talking about mistakes and outtakes, we thought that today's show would be best ended by Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong doing a song called Oops.
Oops.
Oops. From 1951. But before we go into that, I would like to say.
A lot of times we'd be sitting around, we go, oops. I didn't mean to do that. Oops. You're standing in line in the store somewhere, you know. Yeah. Oh, Lord, give me a break.
This is the Burnham and Dodge Art Hour. We're signing off. I'm Carl William Peel.
I'm Ken Morgan, and we thank once again our trumpet engineer, none other than Richard Wicker.
Here at Think Twice Radio.
Home of future.
Oops. My heart went oops. The moment that we met, my heart went oops. I never will forget. My heart turned hoops the moment that I met you.
Oops, my feet went oops. I nearly took a spill. My knees went oops. They shook a bit until my head went oops. You mustn't let it get you.
I was going for a very called solitary sort of stroll. Just a twiddle of my thumb when I heard a lot of drum begun to pound and roll.
And oops, my heart went oops. It went into a spin of loop-de-loops. You must have thought me kin to nincompoops, the silly way I acted.
Of course you wouldn't know that you were so aglow and I was so attractive.
But baby, take a bow. My heart is going oops right now. You are the tops. The moment that my eyes behold your chops, you lift me to the skies. My heart flip-flops. You shouldn't make it make like that.
My buxom belle, I'm still in love with you, 'cause truth to tell, and always kinda knew that we were gel, 'cause jam could never shake like that.
For a frantic but completely unromantic sort of drive, but I knew you wouldn't quit when I dug you and you hit me with that old time jive.
Sing it, Ella.
Then oops, a heart went oops.
Sitting on the stoops, the locals droops.
They nearly flip their tubes, I mean in groups.
The silly way we acted.
Of course they couldn't know that you were so aglow.
And I was so attracted.
Yes, baby, take a bow. My heart is going oops, oops,
oops,
oops,
oops,
right now.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Burnham and Dodge Art
Hour. One more time.
I could use another shot of gin here, couldn't I?
It's coming your way. Okay. Now, once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's that old 1995 Chevy Astro. We'll turn over just one more time.
One more time.
Just turn over just one more time. I'll be back again, manning this here microphone with my co-host across the table there with his new pair of pants I heard he bought for old 12.
I did.
And we're going to do
they're
it again
year
for
old.
You
year
for
old.
Your entertainment value, for your information value, and all the value you can get out of these low-cost prices.
We will be back with special guests in this coming year.
That's what we're looking forward to. And if you got any suggestions or anything you want to hear, just send us a letter.
Yes. Write us to the email address or call us on the phone number, and we will get the messages.
I usually don't answer my cell phone, but yeah, give it a shot anyway.
Thank you very much for listening to the Burnham and Dodge Art.
All right, we thank you.
We're done.
All right.
Oh, God. Oh, God, was that fucking fun.
Whoa! Hannah don't know what he missed. Whoa! Woo! That thing was fun. Neat.
You do understand why that a lot of that had to go into the outtake.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
I think we should start saving a few more.
Oh, I'm saving them all now.